Man, it's good to be back here. It's good to be, folks. I have missed this so much, missed it so much. And anyway, life's been busy, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute. I want to just to start off with, let's just open a word of prayer. We'll get started. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, you're holy. Lord, you're perfect. You make no mistakes. And Father, we're thankful for that. And Father, we just thank you for your long-suffering, for your forgiveness. Lord, your mercy and your grace. We're thankful for the salvation, Lord, you've given us. Lord, to know that if we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, put our total faith and trust in him for our salvation, Lord, we have a home in heaven for eternity with you. And Father, just thank you. We just pray now that you'll open our hearts as we look at this book, great book of Romans. Lord, as we study the truths in it, and help us, Lord, to learn and to grow. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us a stronger desire, Lord, to get into your word, to study it, to know what it says, to know what it means. And Lord, then just to live by it. And Lord, just help us to have a strong desire to have a closer walk with you. So we're thankful, Lord, for the privilege of being here. We pray for those, Lord, that can't be due to sickness or other reasons. Lord, some are here because of indifference. And Father, I pray that you'll do a work in their heart, Lord, to have them come. And Lord, to be in fellowship and Lord, to be obedient to assembling together with believers. So Lord, I just pray that you'll be with me as I teach. I pray, Lord, that everything I say will be in truth. Lord, that I won't say anything that is false or contrary to your word. So we just leave this in your hands, Lord. I pray that you'll guide and direct each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we are beginning, ready to begin Romans chapter 9, verses 25, and we're going to be going 25 through 33. And we'll get a start on that this morning. But and we're talking, and the title, I guess, of this is Israel's Unbelief Inconsistent with God's Plan. And what Paul's been doing here, where we, it seems like it's been a long time since we've looked at Romans. One, I want to thank Royce for filling in, and filling in for, did he teach, or did he show a DVD? I think he taught, didn't he? A DVD? Okay. Whatever, I'm glad he filled in, and I got mixed up on my days, and I thought he was going to be doing it today. And I mean, this is about Friday, and I just texted him and saying, well, I'll plan on, I guess you're doing next Sunday, and I'll plan on coming the following Sunday. And he says, no, I'm out of town, you're on. Okay, so I had to hit the panic button. Anyway, here we are. So thanks to Royce for filling in. I appreciate that a lot. Okay, Paul has been, he has been going through the scriptures because the Jews have been thinking all along, we are saved, you know, because we're Jews, you know. We're keeping the law, we're doing this, that, and the other. And on our good works, we're good. We're God's chosen people. And Paul's been trying to go through and say, no, you're not. You know, you're saved by faith, not by all these rituals you're going through and all this other stuff. And so, I guess, to start off with here, the question posed to Paul is, how can the gospel be true if God's chosen people, the Jews, don't believe it? Okay? From the get-go, the Jews have rejected the gospel. They say, I'm all right, I'm fine. And Paul's preaching this other message. And to them about, no, it's by faith. And they're not, and he's, you know, he has to keep repeating this because every time he talks to Jews, he faces the same thing. So he's trying to go through, and he's going to the Old Testament scriptures, and he's showing them from the Old Testament, you know, that you're saved by faith. And the Old Testament talks about it. How can it genuinely be from God if the people of God reject it? That's the issue. That's what Paul's facing. If this new truth is really of God, then why doesn't God's people receive it? They're saying if it would have been true, you know, the Jews would have accepted it. And we're not buying what you're saying, Paul, this salvation by grace. You know, we're not buying it. And how is it that God could set them aside and graft the Gentiles in their place? That was an unheard thought, or anyway, an unthought thought by the Jews. That cannot be true. We are the chosen people. We are the, you know, we are the great ones. So you see, Paul, he can't just end with the presentation of the gospel. He can't just dive into it. He's got to prove to the Jews and try to get them on his side to understand what he's been trying to say all along. He has to defend its validity by dealing with Israel and showing how they fit into God's plan. He's trying to show that this is God's plan, that all the Jews are not saved. They're not, okay? And that's the reason he writes chapters 9 through 11. When Paul wanted to make a point, he went directly to Scripture. And that's, and he does, we've seen him do that all along. We're going to see him do it again this morning. Go right to Scripture to back up his point, the things that they should have seen. And the first one that he quotes is Hosea. And the second one that he quotes is in Isaiah. And so to start this off, let's go ahead and read. I got to get back in Romans. I'm still in Isaiah here. Let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 9, verses 25 through 29. 9, 25 through 29. And who'd read those for us? John? Okay. Okay, thank you, John. Okay, when he's talking about, that somebody else is going to be grafted in, cut in, he's talking about the Gentiles. God is going to set Israel aside. He already has at that point, okay? Set Israel aside, and the Gentiles are going to be grafted in like a wild olive branch into the root. And we've been through that here in the past. So in verse 25, it starts off, it says, as he saith also in Osi, it's Hosea, who he's referring to. I will call them my people, which were not my people. Okay, referring to the Gentiles. He is going to call them to be his people, you know, who are not my people. The Gentiles' salvation to start off with was for the Jews. And we've seen that, you know, in the past. But, and I'm going to go on here. Okay, let me start. As he also said in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And so this referred to the Gentiles. They were not his people. They were not beloved. Okay? They were Gentiles. And to see where we're coming from here, let's go ahead and turn to Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. It's on page 923. Hosea chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 23. Kind of listen for pages to stop flipping. I get to cheat. I got a marker here, so I'd be the last one to find it, folks. Okay, Hosea 2:23. And who'd read that for us, please? Delbert?
And
Okay, thank you, Delbert. And here it is in Isaiah. See, he's quoting this. He's quoting, Hosea. He's quoting it. I'm going to call them my people who are not my people, you know. And so Paul refers back to this. And see, the Jews were diligent in studying the scriptures. And I mean, and they should have seen these things, but they didn't get it, okay? It went by them. But I got to thinking, you know, before we get too critical of the Jews for not knowing the scriptures, what about us? You know, there's a lot of stuff in the scriptures that we don't understand, that we don't know, so we can't be too critical of them. But anyway, they should have got it. They should have seen it. They studied the scriptures diligently. But it didn't fit what they were wanting. And a lot of times we try to plug the Bible into our way of thinking. And we need to plug our way of thinking into what the Bible says. In the middle of the verse there it says, I will say unto them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God, referring to the Gentiles. And folks, that's a day that we're living in right now. That's a day we have now, okay? Now, that's what Paul refers to. Now, this is not a direct quote. It's a paraphrase. He kind of paraphrased, so it's not word for word is what I'm trying to say here, what Hosea says and what he has there in Romans. He alludes to this particular text. And let's see what the meaning of this, Hosea here for a little bit. Let's see what the meaning is of this by going back to chapter 1, verse 2. And we're going to kind of see a little bit more about what was going on in Hosea's life. So Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. And, well, Delbert, you were already there. Why don't you go ahead and read that for us? 1:2. Okay. In other words, God is telling Hosea, I want you to go marry a harlot. Now, he's a very godly man, you know. And guys, how would we respond if God would tell us to go marry a harlot? That seems like a strange request from God, doesn't it? Okay. Would we be obedient? Hosea was. He did what God commanded him to do. All right? And so he did marry a harlot. Her name was Gomer. Hosea was a prophet, a very wonderful man, a very loving man. The Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and the children of whoredoms, for the land Israel, referring to Israel, hath committed great whoredoms departing from the Lord. And God is going to use him and this marriage as example to Israel about the adultery that Israel has been committing by turning away from God and serving other gods. And God calls that in the scriptures many places whoredom, okay? And Hosea sort of lived out a parable as his wife was a harlot to him. And so Israel was a harlot to her husband, God. And so God is going to use Hosea as a living example to paraphrase this thought out. And his life is a living parable of the relationship between God and Israel. So he took Gomer for his wife. And Gomer bore him 3 children. The first one was Jezreel. It was a son. The word Jezreel means scattered. The second child was called Lo-Rahamah. And that was a girl, okay, a daughter. And that means not pitied. And the third child that she bore to him was Lo-Ammi, Lo-Ammi. That's another son, and it means not my people. So that's what the definitions of these 3 children's names were. Now, what do these names have reference to? It has reference to God's attitude toward adulterous Israel. The children of adulterous Israel are scattered, they're not pitied, and they were not, they're not the people of God back then and today as well. I mean, overall, they're rejected Christ. They're rejecting the gospel. They're waiting for the Messiah to come. Not all Jews. There's always a remnant. Okay, bear in mind, always a remnant. But most. That's what it's saying. They are no longer my people. So Israel was not God's people. The relationship was severed even in the time of Hosea. Okay? Now let's go back to Hosea chapter 2. And let's go ahead and read verses 14 through 23. 14 through 23. And who'd read that for us? Not everybody at once. Delbert, you already, okay, somebody else. Come on, folks. Is somebody awake out there? Gary? All right, thank you, sir. Thank you. Let me butt in here, Gary. 14 through 23. This is a prophecy here saying that God is going to restore Israel back again. So it's kind of hard to understand what it's saying, but that's basically what it's meaning. He's going to restore Israel back into the place of fellowship with him. So go ahead, Gary. 14 through 23. I actually made a mistake there. You're supposed to end at verse 20. I got 23 written down here, and I went through my notes, reviewing it, and on my computer I changed it, okay? Because this is talking about you ended up reading about the Gentiles. So the part, it ended in 20, is talking about God's going to restore them back again in the future. And there's a lot of people out there, different isms that we have today, that are saying that God is finished with Israel. That they have been permanently set aside. God has grafted the church in, the Gentiles in, and he is finished with the Jews completely. And folks, that is unscriptural teaching, okay? And we're going to be seeing here that God's got a plan for Israel in the future. Now, that's going to take place during the tribulation, but anyway, it's future. It hadn't happened yet. And still not to this day, but it will at the end of the tribulation. It will. So, okay. First, Hosea says that God is going to become, that Israel is going to become not the people of God. Well, anyway, not in this. Okay, we've already covered that. They're not going to be the people of God. But now, in these verses that he just read, but now he says someday they will be brought back again to be the people of God. The prophet was referring to Israel's rejection of God. Okay? And then the judgment that came on them. And Hosea seemed to live to see that. Okay? He saw that short term. Now, Isaiah and Hosea both are thinking that this is speaking in terms of short time. And it did happen in periods of short time. But also, there is a long range prophecy in here that they didn't see, that they didn't probably even know about, okay? But anyway, and Hosea lived to see that. He lived to see the northern kingdom conquered by the Assyrians. The people of Israel became not the people of God. God sent them into captivity. And God took his hands off them, and they were scattered. And there was no more pity for them. And they were not his people. And that's back in Babylonian times, you know, when they carried them off to Babylon, okay? And then the restoration, all right? And again, this happened short term, you know. God brought them back. God brought them back to the land and gave their temple back to them. He gave them back their nation and their identity. That happened in the past, okay? Now, when we read Romans 9:25, we know what he's talking about. And so, why is all this important? The prophets of old saw that Israel would enter into unbelief. And this is what Paul's trying to say. You know, he's trying to show them right here. These guys are saying that Israel's going to fall out of, the Jews are going to fall out of favor with God. And he prophesied that, and it happened. It was happening during the time that Paul's preaching to these guys, okay? So the prophecy was historically fulfilled in the restoration after the Babylonian captivity. But that was only the first historical fulfillment. And there was yet future prophetic perspective on this thing. And here Paul identifies it with the unbelief of the Jews during the time of Christ. When he's preaching, he's identifying that the Jews are rejecting the gospel. And they were. They say, we're not buying it, Paul. Most of them. Okay, there's always a remnant. Then there's many that believed under Paul's preaching. You know. He says, look, we're not surprised today when we see Jewish unbelief separating themselves from God and denying the gospel. We're not surprised at that because it's been prophesied back in this Old Testament scriptures. You've read it. You've read it. You've seen it. You just didn't get it. We're not surprised now when they enter into unbelief and sever themselves from God, because Hosea said that's the kind of people they were. Rebellious, unbelieving. And Hosea saw it in the immediate sense, but the Spirit of God saw it in the very words he gave to Hosea in the future sense. The future sense referred to the final restoration at the end of the tribulation time. So the Holy Spirit applies through Paul what Hosea saw historically to the time of Christ. And the Israel of Christ's time is also a prostitute who has abandoned God and forsaken God. And the truth came in 70 AD. Again, okay? What happened to them? They were scattered, they were not pitied, and they were not his people when Jerusalem became overthrown again. Okay? The whole historical scene took place again at the devastation of Jerusalem when the Jews were scattered. And then the question is here, and have the Jews suffered? Yeah, they have suffered a bunch since that time. They're still suffering today. Anti-Semitism going on today. It's just history, folks. It's going to continue on. Looks like now even, leave that alone, Jim. I'm getting ready to say that it looks like the United States is pulling away from Israel, and leave it alone. It's as if God does not pity them. They're not his people for this period of time. And so when we read the passage in Hosea, we say, yes, God's anticipated the unbelief of Israel in Hosea's time. And he did. He tells us about it. It's written there. And here the Holy Spirit tells us in the time of the Apostle Paul, the time of Christ, so the unbelief of Israel doesn't violate God's plan. It fits it. It fits right in. You know, the Jews are saying, Paul, you're teaching false stuff. No, he's not. It's right in the scripture. Then Paul chooses another prophet, Isaiah, He's going to quote Isaiah, same thing. He's going to give it to him in a double barrel whammy, you know. Guys, you need to believe the gospel. So, I'll get out of Hosea. Okay, and then in verse 27, Romans 9:27, it says, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel. All right, let's just stop right there. And Paul now quotes Isaiah chapter 10, verses 22 and 23. So when I mention these things, I like to have you see it right from God's word, not just me up here talking. Isaiah chapter 10, verses 22 and 23. Okay, who'd read that for us? Yes, sir, Alan. Okay, thank you, sir. So the word crieth, says Isaiah crieth, okay? That word crieth is a very strong word. It's spelled in the original K-R-A-Z. It means to cry out, even sometimes to scream. I mean, it's projected out. And it says, Isaiah cried concerning Israel. The verse goes on to say, concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea. And that's exactly what it said also in Hosea 1:9. And Paul is linking these two passages together as he's preaching to the Jews, or writing, I should say writing to the Jews. Well, he's been doing both, preaching and writing. And the verse goes on to say, a remnant shall be saved. A remnant, okay, of Jews will be saved. He's referring to the Jews again. So a remnant. So what is a remnant? You ever buy a remnant? The answer to that question to me is no. Anyway, it's not the whole thing, is it? It's a piece of the whole thing. Isaiah cried out to the people that though you number as the sands of the sea, only a small group will be saved. Small group. Few Jews. In fact, Matthew 7:13 and 14 is talking about the broad way, the narrow way. It's saying very few people are going to be saved. I mean, of the majority, of all the masses, very few are going to walk the narrow path. Very few are going to be saved. So that's Jews and Gentiles. So Isaiah saw the unbelief of Israel too. He saw that not all Jews were going to be saved. And the Jews are all thinking, we're all, you know, we got her made. We're all home free. We're God's given us these covenants. We're his chosen people. We're good. No, they were not. A lot of times we think we're good. No, we're not, you know, till we're saved. Now it appears that Isaiah, again, like Hosea, historically was looking at a very near fulfillment, you know, near prophecy. But again, it's got near and long range both. Isaiah was looking at the near conquest, looking at the enemy who was going to come historically and haul the people away. He was looking at something that was imminent on historical calendar. So God did it short range as well as going to do it long range. But what the Holy Spirit had in mind was not only that, but something in the future as well. Same thing here. For only a few Jews believed at the time of Christ. I mean, there was 5,000 saved, you know, at the preaching of, well, that may not all have been Jews. But anyway, there's always a remnant. There will always be a remnant of both Jews and Gentiles. Okay? And of all the Jews since the time of Christ, only a few believe, just as it was at the time of Isaiah. So now let's go back to Romans. Verse 28. I'm going to go ahead and read this. And this is a hard verse to understand. And people struggle with this verse, okay? For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Now that's the King James Version. All right? This is a very strange verse to interpret. And one of the authors says, the New American Standard has an easier translation to understand. And here's what the New American Standard says. For the Lord will execute his word upon the earth thoroughly and quickly. And that seems to kind of make more sense than... what does your version say, Alan? Oh, okay. Okay, Kathy? Okay. So those interpretations, those are a little easier to understand in the King James. And there's times that that is the case. Okay, God is going to judge Israel, is what this means. God's going to judge Israel, and it's going to be a thorough judgment, and it's going to be a fast judgment. And very few would escape that judgment, very few, meaning the judgment that condemns to hell. Okay, we're talking about the judgment that condemns to hell. And talking about the majority of Jews are going to spend eternity in hell rather than heaven. Not all Jews are going to be saved, folks. A small number of Jews were to escape the great Assyrian conquest, and that's exactly what happened. Okay, now we're talking short range again here. The rest entered into the judgment of their unbelief and their rejection of God. And so it will be prophetically in the time of Christ that only a small group will be rescued. Small remnant of Jews will be saved. While the vast number of Jews will enter into the judgment of God. It's going to be quick. Paul's point is that Israel's rejection of the gospel is no violation of God's plan. He's saying, folks, Jews, hey, it's written right here in these books. You've seen it. You've read it. It's part of your scriptures. And again, you missed it. You didn't get it, okay? It was predicted by Hosea and Isaiah and even dramatized historically. So is God's plan interrupted? No. God's plan is fulfilled. So it's right on course, folks. And that's what Paul's trying to teach these Jews and teach us today. Verse 29. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. And he quotes Isaiah again. Except the Lord of the Sabbath had left us a seed. Okay? Why is God called the Lord of the Sabbath? What does that mean? They asked that question. I didn't have a clue. Okay? Anyway, I'm learning a lot, folks. Sabbath means hosts, H-O-S-T-S. In Isaiah 1:9, the Lord of hosts means the Lord of everything. He is the Lord of everything. He controls every molecule in his entire universe. He's in control of our next breath of air. He's in control of our next heartbeat. He is controlling the planets and all this stuff. He's running the whole show. He's in control of everything. Hosts are the angels, the stars, the heavenly bodies, the planets. Okay? It means the Lord of the much or the Lord of the many is some other interpretations of what this might mean. The Lord of the hosts has chosen a seed. Chosen a seed. God is very selective, and that's the way the plan was from the very start. God has always been selective, okay? Now, here in Romans, Paul uses the term seed, you know, in verse 20 and 29. And Isaiah used the term remnant. Remnant and seed are the same thing. They have the same meaning. Here Paul changes remnant to seed. It means the same thing. A small group, just a little seed, enough to keep it going. The objective of this reference is to demonstrate that God planned it all. God has always planned a seed, a remnant. That's been his plan. A few. He planned that not all Israel would be saved. The only reason any of us are saved, verse 29, is because God has left a remnant, a small seed, to pass his word down to us. It's the only reason we're saved. There's been a seed came along. A seed gave Jim Gay the gospel, part of the seed. I'm supposed to be part of the seed to pass it on to others, okay? We're all part of the seed, if we're saved, part of the seed to pass it on. And so we can be thankful that God has saved a seed back. If it wouldn't be for that seed, folks, we would not be on our way to heaven. We can rejoice in that. Okay. And verse 29 goes on to say, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. If it hadn't been God's plan, all of us would have ended up like Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what this is saying. Okay? And how did they end up? So we can be thankful for the seed, folks. In judgment, is okay, how does Sodom and Gomorrah end? They ended up in judgment. Judgment so severe that to this day we can't find out where those cities were. Now, I didn't know that. You know, a lot of times they dig stuff up and they find, but anyway, according to this, they still can't find them. They were literally buried in utter devastation. We would all be destroyed if it weren't that the God of everything had chosen a small seed. If this doesn't thrill your heart, nothing will. It is only through this remnant that any of us heard the gospel and we were given a choice to respond in faith. Through the seed. Through the seed. Folks, I'm just getting started and my enemy is telling me right now to shut her down. We're out of time. I think one of these days I'm going to... Well, leave that alone, Jim. Okay. Yeah, you know, we had a, this would be an idea. There's one time, we lived in Illinois, and we had lightning strike our house, and we had a little clock in our bedroom, and that lightning, it hit the house, and anyway, it reversed the polarity on our clock, and our clock ran backwards. It kept perfect time, running backwards, you know. I might ask God to strike that clock with a bowl of lightning. Okay. Folks, we're out of time. We are out of time. But any quick questions or comments before we leave? Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this great book. Lord, just you've got these scriptures down here so we understand. We understand the role of the Jew, the role of the Gentile, and how, Lord, it's all part of your plan, Lord. Your plan is specifically laid out. And, Lord, just so many times we don't get it. And just like the Jews, Lord, I pray that you'll give us understanding as we study your word, as we go through these things. And, Father, just I pray that you'll just speak to our hearts this morning through this. I pray, Lord, that you'll just give us a desire. Lord, a desire just to live walk closer and closer to you. And Lord, just draw near unto you. And Lord, there's a promise. If you draw near to me, I will draw near unto you. And so we just pray that we'll do that. And Lord, I just pray that you'll be with Pastor John, I guess, this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak through him to us. Lord, open our hearts to the message you have for us and in the preaching of the word. And Lord, just help us to respond in a positive way. And just help us, Lord, to just not make this be an exercise of futility, but Lord, that it we'll walk out of here changed. Help us, Lord, to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.